Welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rolls Ivy, and you're listening to us on 103.5 WNHH. And of course, we're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube and X and wherever else Harry has us. Oh, we are back with our resident Yoruba priest. Hello, Anru.
Good morning, Babs. Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I met your mama.
That's great.
I met your mother.
Yeah,
when
where?
When she said her name at Possible Futures, we were at the Baldwin Book
Club.
And we were doing Jimmy's Blues. The book was the poetry. And when she said the last name, I was like, are you Anru's mama? Because I don't know any other half kitties. I've never run into any other half kitties. She's like, yes. So,
oh, wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. I just say that. Ew.
I'm good. Yeah. Today is good. Lilacs are coming out. Oh. Love it. Just spring and flowers and.
But is it warm? Is it getting warmer?
It's spring.
All right.
So yes, it is getting warmer, and okay. We do the like up and down. Babs, how long you lived in New England?
I know. I'm from here. I know.
Is spring summer?
No. But is
spring winter?
Either.
Is spring winter? No.
It has been for the last couple of years.
It's its own thing. I mean, climate change, things are changing, right? But yes. Like spring is its own thing. It goes from the edge of winter to the beginning of summer.
Yes, to the beginning of summer. Yes.
Just like the fall is its own thing.
I know.
This is the reluctant I know. Don't want it to be that way, but
no,
I don't know.
Just
I
seems
love
like
it.
It's going.
I love
the change
spring.
Has been longer and longer. So
Well,
that's all right.
I hope you are enjoying your days.
I am, listen, the longer days is nice.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like it's the sun doesn't set at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a quarter to eight. It's still light outside.
Yeah. It's very nice. So. I agree. That is very nice. So let's do a little welcoming. Of
yes, of course.
And just really invite folks wherever you are to take this moment to like give thanks to your ancestors. At the very least for procreating, because we're alive now, which means we have some opportunities to really be here that they no longer have. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of life, right? And life is delicate, right? As spring is, right? Those little seedlings come up, they can be trod on and wrecked, right? And so life is timely, time bound. Emergence and non-emergence. And so we just honor what we have, right? And so just not in the abstract way of like my vague ancestors, but really try to feel into welcoming your people, right? And even the complexity of that, just and the blessings also that come from your people. Not just, it's easy to focus on the hardship, right? And the trauma or the dysfunction, the pain. But there are blessings there. And so be curious about that or allow the possibility for that to also exist. Ba 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 tofu washe. Ba 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 tofu washe o. Ba ye to fu a she a she te fu an lan lu yu ba ye to fu a she ba e gung gung to fu a she u ba e gung gung to fu a she ba e gung gung to fu a she u ba e gung gung to fu a she te fu an lan lu yu Ibai gung gung tofu washi. Ibai gung gung tofu washi. Ibai gung gung tofu washi. Ashe.
Ashe, amen.
Yeah.
What is on your
Yeah.
heart and mind today, Anru?
Well, I thought let's start off, even just like what we've kind of touched upon a little bit, right? This welcoming, what these blessings are, is about like wholeness, right? And that complexity. Like, how do we say yes to the complexity of who we are, versus the ways we can try to solidify something? And yeah, so I guess one thing I'll start with is. Right, so I'm a multiracial black male. My father's side are, African American. So then we are then like African, right? And also people who were enslaved coming, who were enslaved in Virginia, Cherokee peoples, Mi'kmaq, who are indigenous peoples who are up in like Nova Scotia and upper Maine, kind of Wabanaki people. And also, black people who went to Nova Scotia who came out of the Caribbean. So those are like African heritage, indigenous folks on my dad's side. My mom's side are Irish, mostly Irish and Swedish. And there's a little bit of French and some kind of English and in there as well. But those are kind of the main groupings. And when talking about like wholeness, there's a, I mean, it's very true for some people, and I'm sure it's shifted around it even for myself, but like in terms of being multiracial or in terms of being mixed, however, like framing it, because I'm clearly of African descent, right? I'm a browner person than not, right? People are like, oh, like you're a person of color, right? Here's sometimes there's confusion, right? Like, well, are you Puerto Rican or Dominican or from Brazil or from Egypt or like from I don't know, like some brown peoples, right? But there's still that, right?
Yes, yeah.
And in terms of wholeness, right? So it's then it's easy for me, relatively speaking, right, to like claim that heritage, African heritage, indigenous heritage. Caribbean heritage, right? It's not like immediate, but like these are the breadth and the depth of my heritage on that side of the family. Like, I'm a Yoruba priest, right? There's not, people may have questions in terms of like, well, is that based on like lineage or like coming into the tradition, which are not questions that people ask of almost any other faith, right? Is your ethnic religious, is your cultural and ethnic lineage connected to that, right? And that's a part of who I am, right? And so if I'm embracing the wholeness of who I am, how do I also hold as close to myself as a sense of self my European heritage, right? And not based on how I think others perceive me, right? Because if we get caught in our identification of ourselves just based on how someone else sees me, that's going to go down a road of confusion. Because if someone is for me, well, it feels good. If someone's against me, oh, that feels awful, right? And so, like, to hinge our sense of ourselves primarily on someone's acceptance of us or understanding of us, particularly in a culture, United States and Western culture, that objectifies and pigeonholes and tries to define people and put them in a place for certain reasons, right? So my sense of self can't be hinged on the lens of somebody else. And I still live in this world and in this country, right? So who I am may be this wide breadth of identities and nations and peoples and race and ethnicities and cultures. And there's the reality of what happens when I walk out the door, right? So I want to be clear that this isn't just like we just get to hold whatever magical view of ourselves that we want, because there's also, you know, coming up against the construct of race and all the isms, as well as the very real structural power that's behind that. Right? So that's all a mouthful already, right? But what it comes down to is like, in the Yoruba tradition of ancestor worship, right? So starting with ancestors to me is so important, because it's like, this is where I come from, period, right? I'm here because of these people, not my notion of these people, but because of these people. And because of, even if we just talk about race and racism and the myth of white supremacy, right, and the systems of that, it's easy, both for me and for others, for me to be oriented and claiming my black and brown identity in like a heartfelt way, right? These are my people and I hold them close and I'm like you and we struggled and the life and the blessings, right? And if I'm really trying to be free, which means I'm really trying to be a whole person, I mean, that's my notion of liberation, right? This changing system, but it's like, do I even recognize the fullness of myself? Then I have to recognize and hold just as close to my heart my ancestors who were, quote, not like me, right? My Irish, my Swedish, my other European ancestors, as just as an important part of who I am today, right? I have a different experience than almost all of my ancestors because I'm alive now, right? Instagram wasn't happening two generations ago, right? So like the conditions and circumstances, you know, climate change wasn't as loud then as it is now, right? So the circumstances are different, right? I'm alive now, I have this opportunity now, and I'm still of them, they're still of me, right? And so that wholeness is about learning in ourselves to embrace the complexity of where we come from and having courage to do that and having humility to do that and allowing anger and frustration, longing, confusion to be present, even as we explore the who we are, so we know we can not just embody that, but we actually get to pull strength from that. Because if I'm like, no, I'm only going to claim those who are like me, right, which can get a very small number of people, right, if I start putting these conditions on where I receive support from, then I'm missing out of these blessings that can come down from my ancestry, and I'm closing the door to them. I'm the one censoring myself. And it's hard enough with the things in place that are censoring me that are outside of me. Why should I contribute to making myself smaller? Mm. Right? It's like when they train elephants, for example, right? They tie them up, right, with these heavy chains that can't be broken, right? And the elephant spends all this time tugging on it, tugging, trying to break and can't break the chain. And then after a while, gives up. And then they don't use a chain anymore. They just use like a little flimsy rope because the elephant has internalized. It's no use. Right? Struggling in that way. And so it's important to continue to reflect on the ways that we are in unconscious, sometimes conscious partnership of our own bondage, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you know, physically, in terms of, you know, even our bodies. And so if we keep reflecting on it, we keep turning to what are the range of supports we have that just want us to be okay, that want us to be full, that want us to be happy, that want us to be in life in all the ways that life has for us. Right? Not just like I have this, here's my idea of success, is why I've got this certain amount of money I'm making, a certain type of relationships I'm happy, I live somewhere. But like, can we be open to the not knowing what life is and the growth that could happen there, right? So like here's spring, right? A plant is not like, you know, I really just want to grow that way, because that's the better way to grow. They orient towards life and light, right? Mm-hmm. And spaciousness. They just like this, and they grow towards that, towards the things that are nourishing, not like, that's great, but I really, over here is better. They don't do that. So why should we do that? Right. So I guess that's my beginning for today.
That's a pretty good. there's a lot to unpack in that.
So what do you hear in that?
I mean, I hear embracing all of oneself, even the parts that we might not like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
because to discount the parts that we don't like is to not get the whole picture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we gotta have the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah. Even if it's just for the sake of authenticity to move forward, you need the whole picture, you know, so that you don't walk the world as a half person or missing something, and you can't quite figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And to be clear about it, right? Like, you can still choose not to do a thing, but then it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or it's not based on some aspect of, like, I don't want to harp on it too much, but like self-loathing in some way, right? Like, I don't like this. Like, this is not me. And like, so we can numb out to that or shut that off. And what would it mean to say like, ooh, this is a part of me? I still get to choose how I relate to it, but yes. Can it start with that, right?
Yes.
And I know for me, like in terms of like the presence of like whiteness in my blood, right? It's from this, you know, my parents coming together with like love and actually hope for and moving towards dismantling systems of oppression, right? Which is different than like ways that that can live in people of color where it's a matter of trauma, right? Either something that happened during slavery or some other kind of oppression, right? You know, rape and sexual assault that happens. And so there's this connection of like these people are in me because of this horrific act, right? So I reject them. And, you know, what I would say is just like many times that trauma shows up in our lineage, right? How can we honestly look at the people who did the behaviors, right? And there's still, even if you have like a generation or two generations or multiple generations where that behavior was happening, there's still countless ones before that, which may still have something in there for you. So even not just like theoretically, but like, you know, we have affinities towards things, right? You see like people who are, there's like how music shows up in a line of families, like, oh, they play the instrument or they really sang, and hear these things that are passed on, and they're passed on because they're part of our genetic makeup, right? How do we, for someone who's into music, like how you hear, right? That's like your ears, which are constructed genes, which get passed down from generation to generation. So like somebody who has a particular sensitivity or ability to discern complexity and sound, right? That could come from, and if someone is like, you know, That is a part of who I am today. And so what happens if this thing that gives you so much sense of being and wholeness and purpose, you discover it comes from a line where there was trauma or violence? Do you then say, well, I'm not gonna have this thing feed me today, which gives me sense of purpose because of that? I hope you don't. But you can reckon with it, like, oh, that's painful, that's complicated. Yeah. How do I make peace with that notion? You don't have to make peace with the horrors necessarily that somebody did. That's a whole different process. But also that notion didn't necessarily, like that skill or that ability didn't necessarily begin with that person who caused the harm. They may have inherited it, right? So here's this blessing of sound and the complexity of sound to be able to understand it and tease it apart and replicate it, right? In terms of singing, let's say. That comes from, you know, 1,000 years ago. And because of something that happened 200 years ago, I'm going to cut that off from myself and the ways that it actually feeds me. And I encourage people to, like, don't do that, because, like, we need the things that feed us and bring us to appreciate and to connect with the beauty of life, the wonder of life, even as our culture and our system tells us otherwise, right? That we don't get to be connected to that. And then do the healing, doing the recognition, the repair, the reconciliation of, oh, this is an important part of me. And so that goes to the ancestor chant, right?
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for this ashe, for these blessings that you have left for us, and we're using them. And what would it mean to use that ability while holding that complexity? And what richness would that bring to ourselves than pigeonholing, like, oh, I can only express it in this way. That's not how expression works, or that'll distort it, right? You put up, you've seen these pictures of, like, you know, there's like fruit that's grown in these weird shapes because they like put it like in a bottle and then it grows. And it's like the shape of the bottle or the container. It's like, you can grow a thing that way, but it's distorted, right? It's constrained. And there's so much of that. Let us not be the one to constrain and limit ourselves.
Right. Wow. That's a good, I like that. Not limit ourselves.
Let's not limit ourselves. And it's not, and you know, to be honest, it's not easy.
No.
This healing, right? This trying to be free, this like not living constraining, right? What is it? What do we really want? What it really nurtures us, not just what we're sold as should nurture us. Right? I mean, even with like all I'm talking about, like, oh, my parents and the goodness. Yeah, there's a lot of harm in my lineage as well, right? This isn't like, oh, all this like rosy wonderfulness, right? There's pain done to people, there's pain that people did to each other. There's racism, there's ways that people participate in systems of oppression, knowingly or unknowingly. And even for me, like to hold, so my mother's father, my grandfather, my biological grandfather, was killed in World War II. He was a pilot. And to hold him, and there's a whole story, right? He kind of held a position in the family. So he died. My mother actually never met him because he was in the war. And then my grandmother remarried and then had three other children with someone else. But the kind of story, the mythos of my grandpa O'Brien, who's half Irish and half Swedish, kind of loomed large. And there's an interesting thing is the like, there's something called the O'Brien, like, eyebrows and eyes, right? So this part of me comes from him and comes from that line. And I have a cousin who's also mixed, and we both inherited that from him, from that line. So it's a very interesting, like, and my sister did not, who, you know, we have different fathers, but like she could have inherited that from the same line from him. So it's interesting that this like Irish Swedish genetic component got passed down to the black folks in the family. Right? So like these are all the mixes. But even for me, it in this tradition of really working concretely in relationship with my ancestors, to learn to embrace him as a person, as my grandpa O'Brien, in the same way I've grew up with and embraced my grandpa Half Kenny on my dad's side, who was black and was from came out of Nova Scotia. And it took work to do that, right? Because of all the things, oh, he's like a persona, as well as like, well, I'm like these other people more, right? My lived experience is more like the black side of my family, the white side of my family. And the distancing of that is actually because of the system of oppression that I'm in. It's not because of the nature of the relationship with them. But the system of oppression tells me who I should get love and nurturing from, and who I should allow to like inform even a sense of self. That's what the system of racism and white supremacy and ableism and ism, 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 right, all down the road tells me. If it's not like me, then I can't really take something, that it can't really inform me or support me in how I'm trying to live, which is ridiculous.
I have a question. How do we instill that embracing all of who you are, both the pain and beauty, to our children, especially our young adult children who are trying to newly navigate this world?
So one is connecting them to kind of worldviews and practices that is important, that embracing that complexity is important, right? That because there's so many we have so many ways to distract ourselves from that complexity and that discomfort. And so it's to orient also to ways of being with oneself and understanding that you can be with yourself, and you can listen to yourself, and you can be curious about yourself, about what you need, about what nourishes you, as opposed to, oh, they're doing that, I guess I have to go over there to get nourished because they look like they're getting nourished, so I should go do that thing. And I'm not even paying attention. Maybe it is nourishing, but I'm not really paying attention to that. I'm just like, it's the like, well, they're over here. I guess this is what this means to be this way, right? So that's one piece. Us doing it ourselves as adults to model, to demonstrate it, to be able to support them as they struggle with something. Like, yes, I know this is hard, and there's this benefit to this. There's benefit to the struggle. There's benefit to saying yes to who we are, even when that's hard.
I mean,
Because that's a
my children are adopted, and so they have a another narrative of their origin story that is rooted in biology. And we encourage them to step into that part for their own authentic selves. We don't tell them bad or good or whatever. We just go see for yourself and then take what you need from that story. Because you have a story now. You have a story. And it's a real, you see the struggle. I mean, you see it in them with how to make peace with all of that and to be rooted in what they were raised with, and
So I mean, so that what I'm hearing is it really speaks to also the importance of so there can be all these feelings of loyalty, right? Like, you helped raise me, right? You're my mom in this way, yet there's this other person who's these biological parents who didn't, right? And so the pull, like, do I have to choose? And so that's the complexity says you don't actually have to choose,
Nope.
right? So simplicity is like, is it this or that, right? Oh, wait, I'm mixed, so am I black or am I white? I'm more of this. That's where the confusion happens, right? But if I say, oh, here's the, so the, being raised as a black male and recognizing the multiplicity of me, right? So being a multiracial black male names both of those things, right? That you're parenting them and they have a blood lineage as well. And it's not either or. So how to embrace the complexity and the grief that goes along with, and the loss that also goes along with adoption, and or can go along with that, right? Or these feelings of disconnection, or do I have to choose, or did they hate me and was I rejected, and all these things. And like, so that's real to help them move through into that and with that and through that. And to even still remember, and you still have, right? You're there, the parenting, giving love and support and care, and their ancestors are also there, giving them love and support and caring. And so having practices or even just an awareness of that helps with that the complexity isn't just about floating untethered into space, right? Ah, I can't hold on to anything. I don't even know. Am I this or that or work? It's actually like, oh, I don't know. And there's still support. So I can have courage. I'm scared to do this thing. Okay, I'm scared. So what gives me courage to take the step that I need to take to look at, oh, so what is the story of, in terms of adoption, usually like what's the generation, right? The kind of parent or grandparent, those one or two generations that led for these circumstances to be what they are. And there's complexity in that, and there's joy and sorrow and all the things in that. And to remember that, like, oh, I can still inherit these blessings before that story and those circumstances occurred. There were people who lived and loved and had little to do with the specifics of like my conditions and what led me to be in the life that I'm in now. And so the invitation, which is why I love and center so much around ancestor work, is like these are just our people who love us and want us to be well as a general theme, right? And we get to navigate that and build relationships and rage at them and love them and be terrified and be curious and be, I don't even know what's here. And are you there listening at all? Like all of that. Because it's been my experience as a both as a practitioner and as a priest and as a teacher that regardless of how you experience that relationship, it's like it's good food. There's nourishment that comes. And it's not theoretical and it's very grounding and very deep. And it means that somebody, people can have all kinds of opinions about me and what they think I am and who or not, whatever. And like, it doesn't, it can be hurtful in an interpersonal interaction, right? But it doesn't shake who I am. Right? I like to get along with people and like have a good interaction, right? That's much more pleasant. But it's not gonna like, oh, wait, they asked me this question and am I who I am? And oh my, what am I really? And they somehow know what I am and who I am better than me and my people. Like, no. Right? When you connect with these aspects of yourself that are deeper and real, like, oh, they came from here and then here and then here and then here, right? That's easier. I don't have to worry about that. But even if you don't know, it can be harder. But if you don't know who, right? So we're talking about adoption, right? If you don't know, I don't know who my parents were. I don't know. Do you know a general thing about your ethnicity or like who your people are? Maybe, maybe not, right? That can be a question. Okay. So that's an unknown, but you know they existed because you would not exist as a human being if they did not. So then that's what you bring to the table. That's what you bring to your ancestor altar or shrine or where you honor them, however that looks for you. And you call out to them emotionally, spiritually, and that as a practice and things move in us, right? Through dreams, through meeting people, through things just shifting in us, right? Sometimes as we engage in healing processes, things shift in us and we don't know why or where. Like something we've held so tightly and struggled with all of a sudden like softens and loosens. And like, oh, I'm not waking up every day struggling with that. Something has eased a little bit. Because like the reality of this is the reality of where my people were. Like I know that. So how someone identifies me in the moment is a diff is not about identity, it's about my relationship with that person. And I don't know the specifics of people 8 generations ago. Does that mean they don't exist? They're not relevant? Of course not, because I still am who I am because of them also. So let me be the one to go to them and to open the door to them and to honor them, even in the not knowing.
This is a very roots-driven conversation. This is roots. This
This is
is
it.
roots.
This is it.
This is
You have
roots.
these strong roots. You can push up through that frozen soil into the spring, into the new life and the new day, even as it's not just 80 degrees all the time. Because if you don't have those strong roots, you don't weather the winter. Right?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Anru. It's
Thank you, my friend.
always illuminating.
Thank you, my
So,
friend. It's
everyone
really
who is
good.
listening, tap into your roots. Tap into your
Yes.
roots.
Yes. Trust that they are there.
Trust that they're there.
Even if
I
you
like
don't
that.
see them,
Even if you don't
they're
see them,
there.
and even if you don't know the whole story about wherever or wherever, whoever, whatever. You have roots. There are
You
roots
have them.
there.
Care for them. Say yes to them. Nurture them. And then you'll see what grows.
And on that note, boys and girls, saints and sinners, we on our way out.
All right,
Let
now.
that take you far. Thank you, Anru.
Thank you, my friend. Be well, everyone.
Thank you, Harry Droz.
Thank you, Harry.